Hello, my name is Rob Bennett. I'm the author of a book entitled Passion Saving, The Path to Plentiful Free Time and Soul-Satisfying Work. I'm also the publisher of the PassionSaving.com website, and I'm working on a second book entitled Investing for Humans, How to Get What Works on Paper to Work in Real Life. This is podcast number 179. I'm recording it on Monday, October 12th, 2009. The P10 level today is 19. That's not too exciting for stock investors. The musical selection is called Bouncy Bottoms. The title of the podcast is The Investor's Scenario Surfer. Gather around, goons. This one is for you. I'm doing recording a set of podcasts relating to the four calculators that are currently at the website. We have four unique calculators that I develop with huge, I don't know if I want to say I help John or John helps me. I guess John, it's 50-50, I think. I think it's 50-50. John does all the statistical work, so he should get probably the lion's share of the credit for the calculators, but I think I do add my little bit here and there as well. But the four calculators are unique. They're not anywhere else on the internet. They're powerful calculators in my view. And they are available both at PassionSaving.com, my website, and at John's website. John Walter Russell is the co-developer. And they are at his website, which is early-retirement-planning-insights.com. You want to check out his site in any event because it's just got tons of top-notch investment research not available anywhere else. Cutting-edge stuff, and that's a fact. But the four calculators are called the Stock Return Predictor, and I've already done a podcast that was number 169. The stock return predictor tells you when you know the valuation level, you just plug in the PE10 level, and the stock return predictor tells you what the most likely return on stocks is in 10 years. And actually, the default is set up to today's PE10 level, so you don't really even need to know the PE10 level. But you can try other PE10 levels if you want to plug those in. The retirement risk evaluator gives you accurate safe withdrawal rate numbers. The old school studies are analytically invalid, and because they don't include an adjustment for the valuation level that applies on the day the retirement begins. The retirement risk evaluator fixes that error. It includes a valuation adjustment, and it tells you how much you can take out of your portfolio in retirement and have a safe retirement, and it gives accurate numbers. Imagine. The investment strategy tester, well, I guess I should say next, the investor's scenario surfer, that's the one I'm going to discuss in this podcast, is super cool. It lets you go through a 30-year return sequence. The calculator pulls up a random return sequence, but one that is consistent with what we have always seen in the historical data. So it's random in the sense that you don't know what's going to come up. It could be, you know, all good returns in the beginning and then bad returns at the end, or all bad returns in the beginning and all good at the end, or all mixed up all kinds of ways. You don't know what it's going to be. It's random. However, we put in filters so that you're not going to get 30 years of bad returns, because that's not the way the stock market works. And you're not going to get 30 years of good returns. You're going to get a return sequence that is consistent with what we've always seen in the historical record. So we don't know how good it's going to be, but we know it's going to be, it's not going to be bonkersville. It's not totally random, but we're attempting to simulate what happens in real life. That return sequences are random. We don't know what the future holds, but they're not entirely random. And you're just kidding yourself if you think they are. The stock return is rooted in the economic realities. It's not just a random number. It's based on what productivity the economy produces. So this assumes we'll see the same productivity we've seen in history, but the way in which that productivity will play out in terms of stock returns is random. But it lets you pick an allocation The key to this, well, I'll go back to that because I just wanted to finish my overview of the calculators. And the fourth one is called the investment strategy tester. And what that does is the scenario surfer, the calculator I'm going to talk about today, only lets you go through one scenario at a time. So it takes a little time. You go through 30 years. You go through a 30-year sequence, and you pick your allocation each year. Now you can stick with the same allocation for 15 years if you want. And so you're just clicking a button. It doesn't take that long. But you might want to change it. Every now and then you're going to want to change it. So you have to click through 30 times. So you're going to spend a few minutes with it in any event. But the investment strategy, you don't really get a representative sampling of what's going to happen by using the scenario surfer. You're getting one sequence. So you can't draw any big conclusions. It's teaching you. But in order to get the value of the scenario surfer, you have to run it more than once. If you only run it once, you could get this really quirky scenario and you're getting a totally mixed up idea of how stocks work. What you want to do is get a quirky scenario and then run it the second time, and maybe you'll get quirky in the other direction. And then the third time, maybe you'll get middle of the road. And over time, you get to see what works. And but the investment strategy tester allows you to put in a specific strategy and run 1,000 runs all at once. And so then you're getting a indication of what strategies work in the highest percentage of cases, which strategies have the best odds. So that's also worth exploring. And we're working on a fifth one that we're planning to call the buy and hold reality checker. And the purpose of the buy and hold reality checker is to indicate to investors what sort of return sequence is best. And generally, what we have learned in the early going is that what's best is to have low stock returns for many years. Many people think it's best to have high stock returns, but it's better to have low stock returns because the lower they are in your early years of investing, the higher they will be in later years. Low returns now always lead to higher returns later, and high returns now always lead to lower returns later. So if you have low returns, either way, you're going to end up the same thing if you were not buying any stocks. But if you're buying stocks, you want low returns. So it works out much better for the investor to have lower returns for most of his investing career and to have high returns only when he retires and starts selling stocks. So that calculator is the purpose of that calculator is to bring that point home, to illustrate that point. So back to the scenario surfer. The title, if you go to the, it's at the website. Go to the website, go on the left-hand side of every page. There's a list of all the sections of the site. You just click on the button that says scenario surfer. And you'll see an amazing headline to this page. Portfolio allocation shocker. Timing beats rebalancing. I was very proud of that headline, that I could write that and feel that I was telling the truth. Because you've heard 10,000 times that timing doesn't work and that rebalancing is what you're supposed to do as a smart investor, and that's all false in Rob Bennett's opinion. And according to the historical data, if I'm reading it right, and I sure think I am, we don't recommend short-term timing at passionsaving.com. We don't recommend jumping in and out of stocks in crazy ways. What we recommend is looking at the price that stocks are selling for, and when the price is super high, lowering your allocation. Because when the price is super high, you're going to get wiped out. It happens every time. And when the price is super low, you want to go with an even higher stock allocation than normal. And if you'll just do that, which is just common sense, you can retire 5 years sooner than all the people listening to the quote-unquote experts and rebalancing every year, staying at the same stock allocation regardless of price. Timing beats rebalancing throughout the entire historical record of stock investing, and it's not hard to understand why. Staying at the same stock allocation at all price levels makes precisely zero sense. Is there anything you buy in life where you think the value proposition is the same no matter how much you pay? There's nothing, and that goes for stocks as well. So when stocks are overpriced, you don't want to be going with the same stock allocation as you would when stocks are selling at reasonable prices. The purpose of this calculator is to illustrate that point. Now, let me just, for people who are new to the calculator, and I'm going to do, I started out the podcast by saying, I forget what I said, hello goons, or, you know, this is your lucky day or something. Well, I'm going to do something if I don't talk so much that I run out of time. I'm going to go through a live demonstration of the calculator, and I'm not going to re-record the podcast if it turns out that rebalancing beats timing. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to stick my neck out on the line. And every now and then, rebalancing does beat timing, about 1 out of 10. And so it's possible that will happen, and I'll have egg on my face, and the goons will be laughing, and that's fine. That's just the way it goes. But, you know, every now and then, rebalancing works. They, you know, the defenders of passive investing will say, oh, that's a reason to invest passively. I don't think so. What that shows to me, something that only works 1 out of 10 times is a high-risk strategy. It's not a strategy where I want to be putting my retirement money. So I'm not impressed, but it could happen. On any one run-through, it can happen. So I cannot guarantee you that the investing strategy that I recommend is going to prevail in the test that I do in this podcast. I'm going to do two of them. I'm going to first run through there's a test when you go to the page there. We have default results, which is a test I did when we were developing the calculator. And in that test, valuation-informed indexing, the strategy recommended at the site, does very well. But then I'm going to run through a blind one, where I'm just going to plug in numbers and see how it goes. So the first thing I want to do is just give you that's a description of what the calculator does. And then I just want to describe sort of what's here so that newcomers have an idea how to use this calculator. But the purpose is to run through a 30-year return sequence and see how you do choosing allocations rather than sticking with a single allocation. That's the purpose of this calculator. As I say, the most important thing you need to know about it is one run through tells you what one run through can tell you. Nothing more, nothing less. In order to get full value out of this calculator, you need to do, I would say, 10 runs. You know, you don't have to do them all at one time, but you can do one a week for 10 weeks or whatever. But I would say you have to do 10 runs to really get a sense of it. And I've done hundreds. And I really think I learn something every time I do it. Some little thing, because there are so many potential ways that the returns can come up, and yet you have to see how you would deal with those. If you're doing this right, you're thinking about it. You know, you don't have to sit and think for an hour on choosing an allocation, but you sit and think for a minute maybe. And there are so many different possibilities, and you'll get a sense of how, you know, what emotional reaction you have to a price drop or to a price increase or whatever. That's the goal of the calculator. Now, let me go through for newcomers. It will help a lot in this podcast if you pull the calculator up as I talk, because I'm going to be referring to the returns that are present in the default results. And if you don't have those pulled up, it's going to be a little hard to follow. I think you'll be able to follow it, but it's easier if you can see it with your own eyes. All right, there are two buttons here at the top of the calculator. One says enter, and obviously what you do there is you after you've put in all the information, there's not too many choices to make. There's only two or three. But when you enter information in the boxes, you then hit enter so that your information gets entered. I think that's pretty much obvious. And then there's a button for clear all entries. So when you move from the default results, which we'll do a little later on in the podcast, you'll first click clear all entries and then hit and then put your fill in the boxes and then hit enter. The boxes you have to fill in, there are only three. Excuse me, my voice is a little bit froggy. The one box is starting point portfolio value. And I have here in the default results, I have $100,000. You don't use commas the way the calculator was developed. You just enter the numbers, the numerals. $100,000. So what I'm testing is I'm starting with $100,000. Excuse me. And we're going to see how that does on an inflation-adjusted basis over 30 years. Then underneath, you enter a TIPS return. Now, TIPS are Treasury Inflation-Protected Securities. Now, there's a point that we probably should make. I've never done it in the instructions. I guess we should make this point. You don't have to enter you can enter any number you want in the TIPS return. In other words, you don't have to enter today's TIPS return. If you think you can earn, you know, 3% real investing in certificates of deposit, you can enter 3% real there. The purpose of that number is this is what the amount of your portfolio not in stocks is going to earn something. And so you have to put that number in to tell the calculator, you know, what earnings to give. And in the default results, I put for the tips return, I put 2.5 real. I don't know what tips are paying today. You know, and I have tips, I own tips that pay 3.5. So it's a lot less than that. But there have been times when the rate has gone below 2.5. So, you know, the number wouldn't be realistic at those times. But I think in general, 2.5 is probably an average that you can get from a non-stock asset class, whether it be tips or certificates of deposit or I-bonds. If you look for good rates, you can probably get that. So that's what that box is. Then there's a box for starting point valuation level. And you have, I think, 7 choices. You have 8, which is a very low PE10 level, very low valuation level, half of fair market value. 14, which is fair value. Then you have something called 14 bear market. That's what you would enter today if we were at 14. Because today we're actually at 19 today. But if we were at 14, we would be at we were at 14 earlier this year. And we were at a 14. We weren't at a normal 14. We were at a 14 in a bear market, which means it's not as good. It's more likely that things are going to be going down. So if you had used this calculator earlier in the year and you wanted to check how things were likely to do in the scenario that prevailed at that time, you would enter 14 bear market. Then you have 20 normal market, which is a 20 is it's a high PE10 level, but it's not insanely high. It's sort of on the borderline. It's getting a little dangerous at 20. You have 20 bear market, which is where we are today. Because we're in a bear market, it's more dangerous. And because this is the worst bull market we've ever seen, and therefore this is likely to be the worst bear market ever seen, 20 today is not good. Then you have 26 bear market. That was for before the crash. And then you have 32 bear market, also before the crash. And actually, before the crash, we went to 44 bear market. But those numbers are so horrible, we didn't even include them. They're just, you don't want to think about it. That's it. That's really all you have to do. Okay. Now I'll go through the headings here that are in blue shading. And when you read the results, you have to look at the headings and we use abbreviation. So some of them might be a little hard to figure out. The first is the year. So we start with year zero. So essentially we're looking at the end of year zero. All these numbers apply at the end of year zero. In other words, just before the beginning of year one. And the P10 level, we say 26. So that's what we did for the default results because this calculator was put out before the crash. And that's, you know, that's probably what we averaged. 26 is roughly the average P10 level that applied from 1996 through 2008. We were at insanely high prices that entire time period. 26 is very dangerous. We always experience a stock crash when we get to a P10 level of 26. There's not one exception in the historical record. So that's a dangerous P10 level. Current balance, we started with 100,000, so that's what this says here. Then it says, in parentheses, 20% stocks. So when I ran this test, I entered 100,000. I first had a clear all entries. Then I entered my numbers, 100,000, 2.5 tips, 26 bear market. Then I hit enter, and it asked me to choose a stock allocation. And I, for the first year, and I chose 20% stocks. The reason I chose 20% stocks is that the P10 level is so high, 26. So the whole idea with valuation-informed indexing is you go with a low stock allocation when prices are insanely high. So I went with 20%, very low stock allocation. And then the calculator will give me results for that year. And then I get the second year I choose an allocation again, and again the calculator gives me results. And we play out year by year, and we go through 30 years. And at the end of 30 years, you compare how you did with valuation-informed indexing, with how you would have done if you had followed a rebalancing strategy. So the first block here tells you what year you're in. The second block tells you the PE10 level that applies. Obviously, if the price of stock goes up during a year, the PE10 level is going to go up. If it goes up 6.5, it won't go up. But if the return of stocks goes up by more than 6.5 real, then the PE10 level is going to go up. If it goes down, the P10 level is going to go down. The next block here in blue is the current balance. So you're keeping track of your current balance year by year. And underneath the current balance, it tells you your current stock allocation that you've chosen. You choose that yourself. Then you have a blue box that is marked rebal 20%. What that means is rebalancing strategy, 20% stock allocation. So you get to compare what you do with valuation-informed indexing with what your result would have been had you been rebalancing to 20% stocks every year, a low stock allocation. But that's a passive strategy, obviously, 20% rebalancing, but a very conservative one. Then you have 50% rebalancing is the next block, and that's a moderate strategy, I guess you could say. And then you have 80% rebalancing, which is what a lot of the experts were pushing during the insane bull market. A lot of people were saying stocks for the long run, if you're holding for 30 years, you can afford to go with 70 or 80% stocks. So we see what happens with that. Then it gives you then the next block is CURR stocks. That's current stocks. It's the amount you currently are holding. It just breaks down how much of your total portfolio is in stocks, and then the next block, how much is in TIPS, your non-stock choice. Then WD is withdrawal. Then I guess that's if you change. If you change your stock allocation, you're withdrawing. So then you have the amount. Then you have a block for how much you withdrew from stocks, how much you withdrew from TIPS. Then you have the new stocks, the new stock number, the new stock balance, and then the new TIP balance. Then you have how much came out, how much was paid in dividends, how much you earned in interest on your TIPS, and then you have a total income number. So the various numbers are broken up in different ways just to help you analyze different points. Now I'm going to go through year by year the default results. And then after that, I'm going to choose a totally fresh scenario and go through year by year and make choices and discuss strategy implications. If you go to this page and you're trying to learn how to work the calculator, I guess the other thing I would recommend before I go forward with this is read the article. There's an article there at my site. And I think John has some instructions as well, but not the same. And it just gives background on the calculator. And then there are several articles there at the bottom. One is about our unique asset allocation calculator. That's the basics, what the calculator is all about. There's an article there about price changes. There's an article about why you must try to beat the market. There's an article about the question of whether this is a free lunch. I argue that there is such a thing in the world as free lunch. All intelligent investing is a free lunch because it means, obviously, intelligent investing is better than non-intelligent investing. And there's this motto they like to use, passive investors. They say there's no such thing as a free lunch. And anytime anyone puts forward any intelligent idea, their answer is there's no such thing as a free lunch. If it were possible to do anything intelligently, the market would incorporate it. Yeah, but unfortunately, the market doesn't incorporate it. If everyone, the market incorporates what investors of the day think is right, and investors of the day today think passive investing is right. So the market just incorporates that, but passive investing isn't right. So as a result, if you just go with the market, you're going to not do well when we get into bear markets like we're in today. So there is such a thing as a free lunch. Intelligence is a free lunch, and the effort at PassionSaving.com is to provide intelligent investing strategies. I don't think we should have to be ashamed of that. We shouldn't have to apologize for that. But passive investors seem to think that that's the case. At least passive investing dogmatics do. All right. I'm going to go through the 30 years, and I think this illustrates well what the calculator does and how it works and what you can learn from using it. The more times you use it, as I say, I think you need to use it at least 10 times to get value. I've used it hundreds of times. The more times you use it, the more you'll learn. So this is not a calculator to use once and then forget about. It's something you can use over and over and over again. All right, year zero, this is just the initial choices. The P10 level was 26, as I mentioned. That's a high P10 level, dangerous P10 level, very dangerous. The balance was 100,000. And I chose the number underneath the balance. If you're looking at the calculator as I speak, you'll see a number underneath the balance, and it says 20% stocks. I chose that number. That wasn't provided by the calculator. That was my choice. Every year, what you do with this calculator is every year you make a choice of allocation. You're trying to train yourself. You're trying to find out what works. I chose 20% stocks. Now let's see what happened. At the end of year one, the P10 level goes from 26 to 18. Now that's a big drop. So valuation-informed indexing, this is just by coincidence. I didn't plan it this way. I just entered I did a run on the calculator and we chose that as our default. I can't control what numbers come up in the calculator. It's done by a random number generator. But it just happened that on the run that I did for the default results, valuation-informed indexing paid off in the very first year. Paid off big, in the very first year. What usually happens, if you do a number of runs, you will see a pattern, and it repeats so many times that I think it's the primary insight that I've learned from use of this calculator. The pattern is years will go by when passive investing and passive indexing, and these are all indexing strategies. It's all based on the S&P. These are not individual stocks. Passive indexing and valuation-informed indexing will often do the same for many years, often. Some years, some scenarios, the passive will do better for a number of years. And that can go on. It can go on for 5 years, 10 years. It can go on for 15 years. But sooner or later, there's a year where valuation-informed indexing does far better. That almost always happens somewhere, you know, in the first, usually within the first 10 years, but almost always within the first 15 years. And that will cause valuation-informed indexing to catch up to passive indexing and surpass it. I mean, I'm giving a generalization here, but this happens often enough. I think it's worth pointing out. And from that point forward, passive will never catch up again. That's the pattern. And the reason that happens is passive indexing is uninformed indexing. It's indexing where you're not adjusting for price. Uninformed indexing works a lot of times because stocks are such a great asset class, it's pretty hard to foul up. And even though you're investing mindlessly, you're not changing your allocation, you'll do well in many scenarios. But sooner or later, investing in an uninformed, unintelligent way is going to catch up with you. And when it does, it catches up with you big, and you get nailed, and you suffer losses that you can't recover from ever, really. Because when you suffer those losses, remember compounding, the miracle of compounding? Well, once you suffer those losses, the valuation-informed indexer has an edge on you, and that edge is just going to grow and grow and grow. Because the valuation-informed indexer is going to go back to a high stock allocation once prices have returned to normal. So the passive indexer has no hope of ever catching up. So usually what happens is there are a number of years where the risky strategy is ahead because risk can pay off in the short term. But then sooner or later, the valuation-informed indexer catches up and surpasses the passive slash emotional slash risky approach and stays ahead because of compounding. And usually, sometimes you go through that cycle twice in 30 years. But that's a common pattern. So in this particular scenario, the scenario that applied in the default results for the calculator, which you can see by going to the website and just pulling up that page, Scenario Surfer. In this particular case, it doesn't usually happen in the first year. It just happened to happen in this case. When you're at a 26 PE10 level, as we were at the year zero, there's a good chance you're going to fall to 18. Now, that's it's totally something you should be expecting to happen. But it often doesn't happen for 5 years. So we were 26 like in 1996, and you should have been going with a 20% stock allocation, as I did here. But from 96 all the way to the year 2000, we didn't fall down to 18. In fact, we didn't fall to 18 until September of 2008. We went to 26 in 96, and we stayed there for, 12 years. But we eventually did. And if you had gone to a low stock allocation in 96, you'd be ahead of the game today because you would not have suffered those losses. And then you'll be ahead from forevermore because now once you drop to reasonable price levels, you can invest more heavily in stocks again. And so the passive indexer cannot get ahead of you. So anyway, in this case, it happened very quickly. This change happened very quickly. And that's the best thing for the valuation-informed indexers, that it happened quickly. And that just happened to happen here. So in year one, we drop to a P10 level of 18, big drop. The balance on my portfolio, I'm talking about I did this scenario. So my is the valuation-informed indexing strategy. My balance is down to $97,000. I've suffered a loss. But look at how I am compared to the others. Well, I'm equal with the 20% rebalancing. But I'm ahead of 50% rebalancing by 9,000, and I'm ahead of 80% rebalancing by 17,000. So I'm way ahead of the passive indexer in 1 year. In this case, it usually takes longer. All right, in year two, we have another big drop. Now, I increased my stock allocation. When we dropped 18, I increased my stock allocation from 20% stocks to 50% stocks. We suffered another big loss. So again, I'm going to lose money. So some might say, well, that was a mistake, Rob. You know, you should have increased your, you increased your stock allocation and then you had another big drop. You know, you should have lowered your stock, not increased it. No, that's wrong. The risk of stocks was diminished when we went from a P10 level of 26 to a P10 level of 18. So I did the right thing increasing my allocation. It just turned out that there was another drop. But the risk of a drop was much less at 18. Was I shocked and amazed that we had a further drop down to 12? No. That's totally, it was, with stocks, you never know what's going to happen. What you know are the probabilities. I knew that there was a chance we were going to drop down to a P10 level of 13. 12.8 is really 13. I knew that could happen. But I also knew that when we were down to 18, we might stabilize at 18, or we might have an increase from 18 back to 26. So the best bet in my assessment, there's no perfect answer. You're just trying to do the best you can. But the best bet in my assessment was to go to a P10 level, to go to a stock allocation of 50. And I did that, and then we had another big drop. But so now the 20% allocation is ahead of me, but I went even farther ahead of the 80% allocation. I'm now more than $20,000 ahead because that allocation is just passively stuck at 80%, no matter how risky stocks are, no matter how many drops we see. In year three, we have a little increase to a P10 level of 14. No big shocker there. In year four, we have another drop down to 12.1. When we dropped to 12, the P10 level, I went up to 80% stocks. So I now have an even higher stock allocation. I now have 80%. And so when we drop from 14 to 12, again, I suffer a loss. But again, that doesn't bother me because when we're at a P10 level of 14, the odds of a big increase are better than the odds of a big drop. So I'm happy to be going with an 80% stock allocation, even though in some cases, of course, I'm going to see a drop, as I did here. Year five, we see a little increase, only a small increase in P10 from 12.1 to 12.6, but a big increase in my portfolio from $93,000 to $102,000, $9,000 increase. The reason why you're seeing such a big increase is something very important you need to understand if you're going to use this calculator is, when the P10 level stays stable, that doesn't mean that your portfolio is staying stable. A stable P10 level is roughly a gain of 6.5 real. So a stable P10 level is a nice, juicy return for the investor. So don't ever worry if the P10 level stays stable. If the P10 level stays stable, you want to have a high stock allocation. The only time you want to have a low stock allocation is when there's a big drop. Even a small drop in P10 level, if it's very small, you could be better off with a high stock allocation. The only time you want to be going with a low, the only reason for going with a low stock allocation is a concern that there's going to be a big drop. And that's when you get to the high P10 levels, where that really becomes a high probability outcome. In year six, nice jump in P10 level up to 15. And remember, that's just fair value. So there's nothing shocking in going to a P10 level of 15. And I get a nice, since I'm at 80% stocks, I go all the way from 102,000 in real terms, all the way up to 125,000. Huge gain. You see, the stock investing, another insight here. Stock investing is about, it's sort of like positioning yourself for a rebound in basketball. It's about getting the odds on your side. You don't know where the ball's going to come down. Where you want to be is where it's most likely to come down. If the ball comes down totally where you didn't expect, that doesn't mean you're a fool. You did the right thing. You played the odds. But sometimes it just doesn't work out. What you want to do is you want to be positioned for these big gains. You want to be with high stock allocations when you're likely to see these big gains. These big gains, there's only a small number of years that really make a difference in your 30-year outcome. A couple big gains will get you to really good places, and a couple big losses will destroy you. And the other years are just boredom. You know, just little gains, little losses, and it just sort of averages out. You want to be positioned for the big gains, and you want to be positioned for the big losses. You want to be going with a high stock allocation when the odds of a big gain are present, and you want to be going with a low stock allocation when the odds of a big loss are present. In year six, that was the one I said, I think. We went up to a nice, healthy gain. Year seven, another gain. up to a P10 level of 15.9. Year 8, another gain, P10 level of 17. Now I'm just roaring ahead. My portfolio value at the end of year 8 is up to $154,000. The 20% portfolio is 122. I'm way ahead. The 50% is 120, which is even worse. That's unusual, but that's what happened in this case. And the 80% rebalancing is at 115. See, these are unusual results. Almost always, at the end of 30 years, the winner is valuation-informed indexing. Second place is 80% rebalancing. Third place is 50% rebalancing. And fourth place is 20% rebalancing. So the rule you can draw from that is the higher stock allocation, the better. It moves your numbers up, but there's a point at which that's no longer true. And the point at which it's no longer true is when valuations go off the charts. And when valuations go off the charts, you can't stick with that 80% rebalancing. You need to be willing to lower your allocation. You need to be willing to not invest passively. And if you'll just make that one change, most of the rest that the passive investors say is right. Their idea that you should be going with a high stock allocation for the long term is right. This calculator proves that point. It supports the idea of the passive investors that a high stock allocation is best for the long run. But it supports it only if you're willing to lower the allocation at times of insanely high prices. Fail to take that step, and the losses you suffer are so great that you can't recover. So, you know, the passive investors almost got it right, but the part they got wrong is so big that it poisoned everything else. All right, now we have a big drop in year 9. We go from a P10 level of 17 down to 13. Well, that's a big drop. And my portfolio balance went from 154,000 down to 135. Well, that's not good, but you know what? The key with that kind of drop is sticking with stocks, not panicking. I'm a lot less likely to panic with my, at the end of that loss, I end with $135,000 portfolio. I'm still up. The 80% rebalancer, he's down to 101,000. So he's really not even up after 9 years of investing. So he's much more likely to panic than I am. You see, this is the genius of valuation-informed indexing, that you have these steady gains, and then you have a test of your fortitude with a big loss. If you've had the steady gains, you can sort of shake it off. But if you've been playing this risky game of going with 80% stocks regardless of price, you're down to having wasted 9 years and having nothing to show for it, and that depresses you, and that causes you to lower your stock allocation at the worst time for doing so. Year 10, we have another drop. Not a devastating drop, though, just a small drop. Let's see, year 11... Year 11, another drop. Now, see, these were hard years here in the early years of this default scenario. We go down to a P10 level of 8.9. My portfolio at the end of year 11 is down to $104,000. Not good. Not good. I hope that I can hold on in real life. I held on in the calculator. Now, in real life, that would be hard. You have 11 years of investing and virtually nothing to show for it. But the 80% portfolio is down to 83,000. He's going to have a really hard time holding. Whereas the 20% stock guy is at 120,000. So the 80% guy is going to be comparing himself. And he's going to say, I thought I was so smart going with an 80% allocation, but I've only got $83,000 after 11 years. This idiot, you know, who was putting his money in a mattress and investing 20% in stocks, he's got 120,000. And you feel sick to your stomach. Now, the reason we got this kind of scenario is we started with this insane price level. We started with a 26 P10 level. That's the kind of situation we were in before the crash, where 11 years of bad returns is every bit a possibility. Can't be ignored. The valuation-informed indexer isn't doing great. This was a hard group of stock returns, but at least he's a little bit up. He's at 104,000 after 11 years. That's not good. It's way below the 20% stock allocation, which is at 120,000, but it's bearable, I hope. That's the hope. The goal is that it be bearable, because if you stick with it, you'll end up ahead in the long run. Year 12, now we have a little bit of a gain. I catch up a little bit. I go up to 115,000. Year 13, another loss. You see, this is how the market gets you. People are looking at the gain we're seeing today in stocks, and they're saying, oh, the bad times are over. No, the stock market breaks your heart in a secular bear by having these little gains, sometimes big gains. We've had a big run-up, followed by losses, and it punches you over and over and over again. Most people don't bail this on the first big drop. It takes two or three or four or five drops, and you see that in the surfer. This is the benefit of running through this. So a crushing loss at year 13. At the end of year 13, I'm down to $97,000. I am down at the end of 13 years of investing. The guy who had a 20% stock allocation, because he's a so-called scaredy cat, he's at $123,000. He's soundly beating me. He's murdering the guy with the 80% stock allocation. He's down to $80,000. But here in year 14, this is the kind of year that makes it pay off. We go up to a 9.1 PE10 level. Nothing to write home about. Just a low PE10 level. Very low. Below 10. But look at the gain I get. I shoot up to 128,000. The guy at 20% stocks is now only at 134. He's only a little bit ahead of me. In 1 year, I made up all those years. And the guy at 80% stock, he's still down at 100,000. He's still got a long way to catch up because he was overinvesting in stocks at dangerous times. He put himself in a hole. His portfolio was unbalanced. Passive investing is an extreme strategy. That's what it comes to. People don't like to hear that, but that's the reality. It's an extreme strategy because any allocation you pick is going to be extreme at some valuation level. So sooner or later, you're at an extreme allocation and it kills you. Year 15, we have a gain. Year 16, a small gain. But in year 15, I went ahead of the 20% portfolio. I went to 148,000. He's at 140. No, I don't think from this point forward they're ever going to catch me. Year 16, another small gain. I'm up at 161. The guy with the 80% allocation is at 123. Year 17, a big gain. You go from a 10 PE10 level to 11.2. My portfolio goes from 162,000 to 193 in 1 year. Another groovy year. You see, now you're just running away. Now you're not scared anymore. Next year, a big gain from 11.2 PE10 to 15.4, and my portfolio goes from 193 to 282. $90,000 gain in 1 year. You see? Why? I've got 100% stocks. Now, in real life, would I have 100% stocks? I don't think so. I'm not a person who would ever go with 100% stocks. But I sometimes choose it on the calculator just because there's two purposes you can do the calculator. One, you can do it for how you would invest in real life. Or two, you can do it to demonstrate what works the best. And the truth is, when you go to low PE10 levels like we had here, below 12, stocks are such an amazing long-term value proposition that you're really best at 100% allocation. So if you want to run the calculator to see what works best, and sometimes I do, I just want to see what works best, even if I wouldn't do it myself, then you would go to 100. The truth is, mathematically, what works best at those PE10 levels is like over 100, 130, something like that. Stocks are an amazing value proposition, and I don't say in real life you should ever go to 100, but if you want to see what works, there's intellectual value just in knowing what works, even if you wouldn't do it in real life. Okay, so now I'm flying ahead. I'm going to have to shorten this. Year 19, small gain. Year 20, small loss, no big deal. The 80% guy just can't catch me. At the end of year 20, he's at 200,000. I'm at 286. You know, I've got this massive lead, and I'm actually investing heavier in stocks now than he is. You see, these gains, I'm getting more out of them. I'm getting more juice because I'm at 100% because I didn't take on excess risk at the beginning when stocks were overpriced. I can take on bigger risk now. This is a big selling point of valuation-informed indexing. You don't want to take on less risk than the passive investor. What you want to do is take on the same amount of risk as the passive, but distribute it at different times. So, you know, because I took on less risk when stocks were insanely risky, I now can take on more risk when they offer a strong value proposition, and so I just fly it. You know, this guy can't catch me. He can't afford to invest 100% stocks after the losses he suffered because of his reckless passive strategy. You're 21, we're dropping down, but we're dropping down to a 12 PE10 level. But my portfolio is big enough that it's not hitting me too hard. Year 22, another big gain. I jumped from a $264,000 portfolio to a $345,000 portfolio. I'm more than $100,000 up on the 80% stock guy. I'm way ahead of the 20% stock guy at this point. 23, same thing. 24, same thing. 25, another nice, a short gain, not a big gain, small gain. 26, I suffer a loss, but doesn't hurt me too much at this point. 27, big gain, from 318,000 to 432,000. 28, another solid gain. 29, stayed steady. At the end of year 30, I had a big gain. We went from a 12.9 P10 to a 15.4. Now, look at where we're ending up. We started out at a 26 P10 level, insanely dangerous. We ended up at 15, fair value. So this was a declining market. This was a 30-year time period in which the P10 level fell from double fair value down to fair value. I should have had a horrible return. But look what I got. I'm up to $624,000, inflation adjusted, starting with $100,000. The 20% portfolio is at 261. He's had gains. You know, you should have gains with 30 years of investment. But, you know, half. His portfolio is less than half of mine. The 50% rebalancing guy is at $339,000. He did about as well as the 80% rebalancing guy at $401,000. But $401,000 portfolio compared to my $624,000, I'm 50% higher than the guy who invested 80% stocks, and I'm 50% higher than the guy who invested 50% stocks. Those are, you know, That means retiring a lot earlier. That's a big, big, big difference. All right. I'm as usual, running short on time. So I'm going to now run a live test of Rob Bennett's investing ideas. And let's see if I can make a fool of myself and the goons will be laughing at me. All right. I'm going to click clear all entries. So we're going to start with nothing. Then I'm going to enter a starting portfolio of, just as I did before, $100,000. That's just what I'll test the same thing. And again, I'll enter 2.5 for tips. I think that's sort of an average tips number. And what shall I enter for the starting point evaluation level? I'm going to enter 20 bear, because that's where we are today. I put 26 bear on the default. That's because the calculator came out before the crash. Today we're at a 19 P10 level, pretty close to 20, and we're certainly in a secular bear market. Now I have to enter a allocation for year zero. So what am I going to enter at a 20 bear? Interesting question. I entered 20% on the default because the valuation was so high. I'm going to go with something higher than that. I think I'm going to go with 40. I'm going to go with a 40% allocation. I think that's reasonable for today's numbers. And I'm not going to enter any withdrawal or addition. The calculator allows you to like have an increase to your portfolio every year or to take something out if you're retired. But I'm just going to enter zero to keep things simple. Then I hit enter to make the calculator work. And so the calculator tells me that I'm at $100,000 portfolio value, 40% stocks, and now it's running columns for the 20% rebalancing strategy, 50% rebalancing strategy, and 80% rebalancing strategy. And those are the numbers I'm going to be reporting on as I go through year by year. My PE10 level is 20. Let me see. Is that the end of year zero? The end of year zero, it's 20. And I entered 40. So I'm now going to enter. I'm at 40% allocation. I'm now going to hit enter. All right. I'm glad I didn't go with a 20% allocation. Now you can't do this on your own calculator at home because your calculator won't generate the same numbers as I'm generating. These are random numbers, so you're not going to get the same results if you try to follow along with me. You'll just have to listen to what I report. But certainly go back and do your own runs after you get done listening to my voice. Okay. Big gain. Huge gain. In the first year, we go from a 20 PE10 level to a 30.4. This is one of the biggest gains I've ever seen. I mean, it's just huge. Because I had a 40% stock allocation, I did have a gain. I went from $100,000 to inflation adjusted to $126,000, which is nice. a lot better than the 20% rebalancing that only went to 114, and almost as good as the 50% rebalancing that went to 132. But I got my clock cleaned by the advocates of passive investing that usually in the bull market were advocating something close to 80% stocks. They're up to 150,000. So the goons are ahead of old Farmer Hocus, and they're not ahead by a small amount starting out. So they, you know, I'm in trouble, friends and neighbors. Let's see if I can get myself out of this corner. Get myself out of this corner I painted myself into here. All right, now I got to choose a new allocation. We're at 30 P10. Rob is trying to catch up to the goons. The goons are going to stick with 80% rebalancing. That's just the way they are. They, you know, they're dogmatic, and that's what a dogmatic does. I'm going to try to outsmart them. Maybe I'll outsmart myself. I'm going to go with a zero allocation. It's extreme, but 30%, 30 P10 level is extreme. So I'm just going to, I'm going with zero, and I'm going to see if that'll help me catch up. If we have a big drop, that's going to help me make up those numbers. I'm 25,000 behind. I need something. I'm trying to win this, you know, game here. I'm competitive. Competitive little guy. All right. I didn't win that bet, I wouldn't say. P10 level dropped slightly to 28. But that's certainly not a big drop. My portfolio value went up slightly to 130. But the 80% rebalancing people are doing just fine. They had a tiny drop, but they're still at 149, so they're still way ahead. So I have to choose again. I'm going to choose zero again. I'm sticking with that choice. We're still at a high P10 level. 28 is still too high, so I'm sticking with zero. Let's see how we go for year three. Year three, another drop. Well, I'm not making any big progress. I'm making little progress. The P10 level at the end of year three is 25.9. My portfolio rose to 133. And the goon, I'm going to call it the goon portfolio, the 80%. Please don't take offense. I'm just telling a joke. But the goons, they want to beat me, believe me. They want to beat me. They're listening in, and they're like, we're going to get this guy. And they're at 149. They still got a nice, healthy lead, and I'm going to stick with that hand. I am not changing, and I'm just going to roll those dice and see what comes up in year four. How, you know, what's where, you know, roll, spin the dial and see where it lands. Uh-oh, goons. Sorry, goons. Bad news for the goons, friends and neighbors. Year four. This is from a random calculator. Please understand. Just like we had a huge gain in year one, an amazing gain from a 20 to a 30 P10 level. We've now had a huge loss. You see, when you have those huge gains, they're followed by huge losses. Not always in the first year or the second year, but eventually. Well, we went from a 26 P10 level down to a 15.5. That is a shocking loss. That's the kind of loss we experienced in the crash of 2008. It's roughly about what we experienced. My portfolio didn't suffer any loss at all. We had a drop in P10 level from 26, which is about where we were before the 2008 crash, down to 15, which is where we were, you know, we've been at a lot of P10 levels recently, but that's the lowest we went to was 12, and the highest is 19 where we are today. So 15.5 is in the middle. So this is like a crash-like scenario, and I gained. I went from 133,000 to 136. Small gain, but it's a gain. And notice that I'm up. 4 years of investing and I'm up, even with a crash. You see? That's the beauty of valuation-informed indexing. It positions you so that when the market acts crazy, your portfolio doesn't act crazy. You know, it's like a shock absorber. The goon portfolio went from 149,000 down to 106. You see, this is what makes people bail on stocks. This is what causes panic. I didn't experience it. I experienced the gain. No panic. You don't. Crashes do not mean you have to panic. If your stock allocation is reasonable, you can have a gain in the year of a stock crash. But the goon portfolio, the 80% rebalancing portfolio, suffered. I think it's fair to call it a wipeout. So they are now down to 106. They're not below their starting. That's good. They're not below their starting value. They have a small gain for 4 years of investing. But they're below the valuation-informed indexer by 30,000. They're even below 50% rebalancing by a little. 50% rebalancing is at 111,000, 5,000 better. And 20% rebalancing is at 112, a little better than 50. But I'm at 136. I'm now way ahead. Well, now I need to adopt more conservative strategies. You know, I don't want to be doing anything crazy. I just want to hold my lead. If I'm trying to beat the goons, you know, you got to do what you got to do. We're at a 15.5 P10 level. I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with 70% stocks. I think that's reasonable. I think 70% stocks is reasonable, that P10 level. So let me find the 70. And the way you plug it in, yeah, there's a pull-down menu here, and it just shows you all the percentiles, and you only have to do that when you're changing it. And then when you find the 70, then you click Enter, and that enters your choice. All right, let's hope I didn't get too full of myself. Well, we had a drop down to 13.6, so I lost some money, but about 5,000, nothing crushing. The 80% portfolio, same as me, roughly. Not much different. We're now at 13.6. Stocks are looking a little better. I don't know. Should I go with 70 or should I go with 80? I think, well, it's a hard call. I think just to be lazy, I'm going to stay at 70. Right? I have an emotional thing where I just prefer not to make changes. Maybe I picked that up from John Bogle, you know. But I make changes only when I really need to. Well, we went up. You know, 13.6 is a good portfolio, a good P10 level. So the odds were we were going to see a rise, and we did. And if I'd gone with 80% stocks, I would have enjoyed more of a gain. So the Goon portfolio gained something on me because they had 80%, and I technically should have had 80, but I just felt out of laziness I was going to stick with my 70. And now I have to make that same choice again. Do I stick with 70? Do I go to 80? I'm just lazy. You know, I'm just naturally a lazy person. I'm going to stick with 70. You know, it's work. This is not a science, you know. I can't tell you a certain P10 level you should always be at such a level. So, you know, you're making the best choices you can make. And you know, you don't sweat over 10% in allocation. We don't know enough to be that fine-tuned. Where you help yourself is when a portfolio change is desperately needed and you're willing to make it, whereas the passives are not. That's where you help yourself. But don't sweat it between 70 and 80, you know, and what I usually do is I just go with what I've got unless there's a good reason to change. That's just sort of my working thought. All right, in year 7, a big drop from 15.9 P10 down to 11.8. I suffered a loss from 155,000 down to 134,000. Pretty big loss. That's a big loss. But because I was at 70, it was a little less than it would have been if I'd gone up to 80. You see, my laziness, sometimes lazy pays off. The Goon portfolio, though I'm calling it that jokingly, please understand the spirit. But the Goon portfolio is down to 103,000. That's not good. That means they've invested their money for 7 years and they have essentially nothing to show for it. Not good. The 50% rebalancing is at least at 113. At least there's some gain there. And the 20% rebalancing is 118,000. That's a gain. I'm at 134. I'm feeling good. We're now at 11.8 PE10 level. Now, that's a pretty good PE10 level. Again, I'm just going to be, going by the numbers, I think I would go up to 18. But I'm going to hold 80% stocks. But the lazy has worked for me. You know, my whole life I've been lazy. And sometimes when you're lazy, somebody else will do the job for you. You know, just, you got to go with what works. And, that's what I'm going to do. Did I enter that? That was year 7. Let me just see this. Oh, here it is. Okay. We had a drop down to 9.4 P10. So another loss for me, but I'm glad I was lazy. Didn't lose as much. Now that lazy has worked for me so much, I'm sort of getting, marrying the concept. I think I'm going to just stay lazy. 70% is enough for me. There's too many losses showing up here. I'm just going to stay. 70% stocks. That's a nice, healthy stock allocation. I'm not being too conservative. Just being a slightly tiny bit. Okay, now we had a gain, so up to 13.2 P10. So I would have gained more if I'd been at 80% stocks, but I'm perfectly happy. I got a look at what I got, $40,000 gain in 1 year, you know? I'm not upset about that. So I'm doing just fine. I'm beating 20%, I'm beating 50%, I'm beating 80%. I'm doing just fine. I'll stick with 70. I'm happy. I'm feeling good. Okay, enter. Let's speed this thing up a little bit since we're getting close to that 1 hour mark. It's my goal. There's going to come a day, friends and neighbors, when I'm going to learn how to do a podcast in an hour. You don't believe me, but it's going to happen. All right. Now, I don't know if that one entered. Let's see, I'm still at year 10. Was that a loss? I guess that was a loss. I'm down to, I lost track of what year I'm at. But year 10, the P10 level, yeah, I think that was a loss. I dropped, that's a big loss. We dropped from a 13 P10 level down to an 8.5. My portfolio dropped down to 130,000. At 10 years of investing, that's not too good. But look at the 80%, the Goon portfolio. It's down to 97,000. That's awful. That's terrible. I should mention I have some quirk in the software that I record these podcasts, and static comes in sometimes for about a minute and a half of the recording. And what I've been doing on a lot of them is I haven't been able to figure out how to fix it, and I've just been deleting that minute. And that's going to be unfortunate if that happens during the recording of these results, because it's going to seem weird. You're going to miss part of it, but there's nothing I can do about it. I'm just not smart enough to figure out how to fix it yet. So if that happens, you'll just, you know, there's going to be a part missing, and maybe my explanation here will tell you why that is. But that's just the way it goes. Sorry for that. I apologize for that. Okay, we're now at year 10, and I'm down to 130,000. We're at a low P10 level, 8.5. I'm down to 130,000. The Goon portfolio is down to 97,000. Not at all good. Now we're at a low enough P10 level that I'm feeling my oats. Okay, and I'm actually going to go, I think, to 100% stocks. As I say, I wouldn't do this in real life, but in terms of, I want to beat the Goons. Okay, I mean, I really do, and they're not gonna let me forget this if they beat me. So I think 100% is a good allocation. We can go lower. We're at 8.5. We can go lower. We can go a lot lower. Well, not a lot lower, but we could go down. I think the lowest we've ever been is 5. So we could go lower. But at 8.5, the chance of going higher is a lot better than the chance of going lower. A lot better. So I'm just gonna count on old Mr. Stock Market to help me out. Let's see what we did. Well, interesting. Year 11, we went tiny bit lower, from 8.5 to 8.4. That's not much of a drop. But I had a gain. You see, when the P10 level holds steady, you gain. I went from 130,000 up to 136. And of course, so did the Goons. They went from 97,000 up to 101. I got a little more gain because I can afford 100% allocation. At these incredible P10 levels, these mouth-watering P10 levels, and they really can't, you know. They don't have anything to show for their money at this point. They're barely break even at the end of 11 years. So I'm sticking with 100%. I'm happy, feeling good. I might get tripped up, but I'm enough ahead that I'm just not worried about it. You know, I feel like I can make it up. Let's see what happened here. Yeah, I'm flipping back and forth. Okay, another year of stability. Another year of stability. So I'm going to stop talking and just start entering numbers. Enter again. Let's see what happens. If something dramatic happens, I'll report it. But otherwise, I'm just going to try to shut up. Year, another stable year. We're at 8.3 again. Everything's staying stable. But remember, when you're at 100% stock allocation staying stable, that's a nice little gain, because that's a 6.5 gain every year. Nothing to sneeze at. Little gain from 8.3 to 10, and I shoot up from 153,000 to 196,000. The Goon portfolio is 138,000. Goon portfolio was still trailing 20% rebalancing and 50% rebalancing. Think how you would feel in real life at the end of 14 years. You're trailing people who have 20% stocks. You're trailing people who have 50% stocks. You're trailing valuation-informed indexers. Not good. We're at a 10 P10 level, and I'm sticking with my 100% portfolio. I like investing heavily in stocks at these sorts of prices. I just do. Yeah, call me crazy. Uh-oh, Rob got caught. Rob got full of himself. Year 15, we dropped down to a 5.4 P10 level. That is devastating. I went from 197,000 down to 115,000. I deserved it. I deserved it. You heard me. You heard what a big shot I was talking. And this is what happens to big shots in real life. The portfolio showed us the way it works. The Goon portfolio dropped as well, down to 93,000, but a lot closer to me than they were. I had a huge lead. I was ahead, but from 130, they had 138, and I had 197. If I had been a little more not so full of myself, I would have had a lead. They could never catch up, and look what they did. They're now within, they're now at 93,000. They're at 7. They're at 20. They're 21,000 behind. They're still behind, but they made up half of the distance because of my bullheadedness, or my, whatever you want to call it, my arrogance, I guess is the word, with my 100% stock allocation, forgetting that even at a P10 level of 10, you can have a 50% drop. Unlikely, doesn't happen often, but it happens. And in this return sequence, it came up. Now what do I do? See, now I want to go with 100% stocks, but I've taken this big hit and it gets hard. Well, I am bullheaded, actually. So I'm sticking with 100% at a 5. I don't think it can go lower. I mean, you know, I guess in theory it can. The whole U.S. economy could crater. But I, you know, you don't, one time in your life, you may get a chance to invest in stocks at a P10 level 5, and you can make so much from that one time in your life, it makes up for everything else. So I'm not going to pass it up. All right, we went up to 7.2, and that was a big portfolio gain for me, from 115,000 to 162. See, when you're down there low, the multiplier is so great. I mean, holy moly, holy moly. 7.2 P10. Rob is a gambler, and he's staying at 100%. He did not learn his lesson. He loves low P10 levels, even after he got burned. Now another nice gain. We're back up to 10. We made it up, friends and neighbors. I'm up to 240,000. All that bone-crushing loss I just suffered. In real life, I might have bailed. You have to understand. When you suffer that much of a hit, it's hard. But in pretend life, I was able to stick. And if you stick, I made it all up in 2 years, plus some. I was at 196 before I got hit. I'm now up to 240. End of 17 years. It's been a bad time for stocks, but I'm not doing great. To have only double your portfolio in 17 years is nothing to write home about. But I'm a heck of a lot higher than that 80% stocks. They're at 172, and I'm at 240. I'm still going to stick. The P10 level, the nice thing about low P10 levels is you can have these huge gains, and the P10 level is still attractive. You know, a 10 P10 level is awesome, even after a huge gain. Now we go to 11. You know, that's not a huge gain, but it's another nice, solid gain, and heck, I'm staying. I got to move this up. I got to start speeding up a little bit. But now we're up to year 19. We stayed steady, 10.5 P10 level. I'm up to 184,000, and I'm just going to hit that enter button. I'm not changing that allocation. I'm a 100% stock allocator until we go above P1012. Now we went to P1012. Another big gain for Rob Hocus Ben at 287,000 up to 373,000. I am killing the goons. They're at 250. I'm at 374. I don't think they're going to catch me now. Now we're 12.8. That's not high. That's still below fair value, but I'm not going to go with my 100%. I'm going to get down to 80 or 70. I think 80. That's still below fair value. So I'm going to 80% stocks, making a little change here. Not a big change, but I think a prudent change. I think 100% is awfully high. But when you're at a P10 level 5, it's hard to say no. All right. Another gain up to 13. I'm now at over 400,000. You see, when we got down to that P10 level, and I'm staying at 80. When we got down to that 5, you can have a double up to 10, and you're still at a good P10. Then you have a triple up to 15, and you're still at a good P10 level. You know, the potential there is just so great. Small drop in P10 level in year 22. A small increase in portfolio value. No problem. I'm just staying. Where am I? 80% stocks? 80% is right. So I'm just going to click enter and try to run through the years. And the goons need a miracle at this point, I'm afraid. And I'm not going to give them. I mean, you know, if they do it on their own, fine. But I'm not going to give it to them. They're going to have to earn it. A little drop. Nothing big. We're down to a P10 level of 11. Still a very attractive P10 level. So I'm just going to keep hitting that enter button. And we're just going to have to wait for the calculator takes a second to do its magic. What are we up to here in year 24? Pretty stable. We're up to $400,000. Let's just stay at that same old 80% P10 level. The goons can't catch me as long as I'm at 80% because I've got the same allocation they've got. If something good happens to them, it also happens to me. If something bad happens to me, it also happens to them. No, I think stocks do make you arrogant, you know, because you see these numbers and it's human nature to think I did that. You know, I'm smart. It's not the way it is. It's you know, you got to be careful with that. Oh, big gain in year 29 to a P10 level of 16. So we started out with a P10 level of 20, which is on the high side. We ended up 16, which is fair value. So this again, as in the default results, not a great 30-year sequence for stocks. A poor. You know, you end up at the end of 30 years with a lower P10 than you started. Obviously, you, that's not going to be what you want. But my balance, holy moly, $952,000, 10-time increase. From 100,000, I increased my balance by 10 times. This is inflation adjusted. The 20% portfolio is a little under 300,000. The 50% portfolio is a little over 400,000. The 80% stock portfolio, the one I call the goon portfolio, is at 545,000. I'm almost double 80% rebalancing. I'm more than triple 20% rebalancing, and I'm more than double. 50% rebalancing. More than double 50% rebalancing, almost double. I think it is actually, no, a little less than double, but almost double 80% rebalancing. They ended up at 545,000. I ended up at 951, $400,000 more. Huh. Well, that worked out for the good guys. But that's typical, you know. I mean, I think that's little more than typical. That's better than typical. But you'll see those kind of results. If you run this calculator, you will see those results. You'll see them before your own eyes. And I think it will persuade you over time that, as the title of this, you know, this page at the website says, portfolio allocation shocker, timing beats rebalancing. So you can't run just one of those and say, hey, I'm going to get double. You know, I'm going to get double what you'd get with 80%. No. There are times when you'll get double. There are times when you'll get, you know, a nice edge. There are times when it'll be neck and neck and you'll win by a little bit. There are times when you'll lose. About 1 in 10, in my experience, about 1 in 10 scenarios you'll lose. And so you need to run the scenarios. You don't want to – I think this was a good exercise because you saw me – get too full of myself, you know, and I got hit. I took a big hit that one year. And in real life, I might have bailed, you know. In other words, it's nice to have a calculator, but you got to think, how would this go in real life? In real life, that hit, what the goal that you generally want a high stock allocation because that's where the money is. Stocks are the best asset class. They're so much better on average than tips that you want to be going with as high an allocation as you can bear. But what you can bear changes with valuation levels. It's not just that high valuation levels lead to big drops. It's also, there's two things that are bad about high valuation levels. One, they lead to big drops. And two, they lead to sustained drops. When you're starting at a 26, you could have 10, 15, 30 years of bad returns. I mean, these weren't all bad returns. But at the end of 30 years, all we had gotten back to was what, 16? I think we ended at 16. So, you know, I wouldn't say it was bad for 30 years, but you could go through there and say how many of these were bad. And for most of that 30-year sequence, we were below fair value. Some of it remarkably below. We went all the way down to 5. And so, you know, you're not going to have that kind of result starting from a moderate level P10, or, you know, except in very rare cases. But starting at 26, that's almost the norm. So, you know, when you look at where we were in January 2000, what you should be saying is, hey, be prepared for 20 years of bad stuff. But 20 years of bad stuff doesn't have to kill you as an investor. If you follow a moderate strategy, you can make gains over the 20 years of bad stuff. Solid gains, but not huge gains. So that at the end of 20 years, you know, you won't be sitting on top of the world, but you'll be holding your own. And then in the next 10, you shoot up and you end up double what the passives did. See, that's sort of the way you play it. Anyway, that's a test run. I hope that gives you an idea of what the scenario surfer is all about. I hope you do use the calculator, and I hope If you discover great things about it, you'll tell me that, because I am like all those other humans. I like to have my ego stroked. But I'm also, I like to think I'm an intelligent human, and I like to learn what I got wrong, too. So I hope that if you find something wrong in it or something you think could be improved, that you'll let me know that. That I'd be grateful. Good luck with your investing strategies, whether they are goon strategies or informed strategies. Either way, I wish you luck. You know, just because you're a fool doesn't mean I don't like you. I'm kidding. Good luck with your investing strategies, my friend. Please take care.